Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
We're starting a brand new message series today, Safe to Be, Safe to Grow. And here's what we're talking about. When I tell people, like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh gosh, you're going to get uncomfortable, I'm going to get uncomfortable, but here we go. Because in the snowstorm, we got to talk with our neighbor and like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a pastor. And immediately they're like, oh, yes. I have a cousin who enjoys those things. Awesome. And the next question is usually, so what church are you at? I'm like, oh, we're at this church called Cascade. Cascade, I haven't heard of that. Yeah, well, you're not alone. It's new. And the moment I say that, there's always a look like, you know, like a dog looking at you really confused. It's always that head tilt. What do you mean a new church? Church is something that just exists, right? There's just churches that have existed for thousands of years, and you work at one of those. What do you mean you work at a new church that 2 years ago didn't exist? There's a lot of why questions that come along with that. Why did you start Cascade? Why did you do that? And so our hope is that for the next couple of weeks, if you have some of those questions, or if you didn't have any of those questions before this morning, that we can help answer, why did we start this place? What is our hope and what is our dream? And here's what I want to share with you on the front end. Everything that I'm going to share isn't like myself, Jonathan, who's our director of operations, Sarah, who does kids. We didn't go up on a mountaintop somewhere and like get this inscription written down that we came down and said, and this is Cascade, and this is what you would sign on to and be a part of. All the time that we've spent talking about it is really trying to say, all right, God, what have you been stirring and building? Who are all of you? Who has God brought here? And we're just trying to say, these are the things that we see here. This is where we see things today and where we see the church going. This is why this thing matters and is important. But this conversation is incomplete without you. Even if this is your very, very first Sunday, you're a part of this thing because this thing is alive and active and it flexes and moves with you. And your participation in that might be, I come and I sit. And like, that's beautiful. That's participation. You being in this room right now. We don't have different levels or values for participation. The people that do all kinds of volunteering and they put all the hours in and do that, that's great. That's awesome. It seems to be something that God has called in them and we want to encourage and support. But for others of you, maybe that's not where you are right now. And guess what? It's not like, well, maybe you'll get there someday. That's awesome. And so all of this is an experience of like who we are and what God is doing here. So if you hear anything we talk about and you're like, I vehemently disagree. One, I'm so sorry. But two, we should talk about that because this isn't a closed book that you're not an active part of having this conversation. So when we started the church, a couple of things to look at is like, what is the church? When we talk about the church. So if you go historically, when people talk about church, usually they're referring to a local church like this. A group of people that meet usually on Sundays, but maybe some different days to have a religious experience. Have an experience with God. If you're part of a Christian church, it's centered around who Jesus Christ is. Other religious communities, something different. But then we also talk about, in Christianity, the big C church. And we say that because you can't capitalize with your words unless you just yell really hard on the C. Don't try it. The big C church means all churches. There's this universal thing that throughout Scripture, when Jesus talks about the church, it's not just talking about this place. It's talking about this place and all of the other places that are joined together and worshiping right now around the world, or worshiped 8 hours ago around the world, or will worship in 4 hours around the world. It's this big, beautiful thing that you're a part of that's way bigger than just this building. And it's way bigger than 2017. It has history. It has depth. So it's wide in that it goes around all the world, and it has depth in that it goes back to the beginning of the church. And the language they talk about is that this is God's people come together. It's a manifestation of this thing that Jesus talked about a lot called the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God a lot. And what he was talking about is, look, there's things that you experience in life in the world that aren't right. They're hurtful, they're painful, they're things that are broken. They aren't the way they're supposed to be. Some of you still had to go to the work this week. Darn it, it's injustice. Not the way it's supposed to be. But some of us are stricken with cancer. Some of our loved ones are hurt or injured. Some are under incredible pressure from a mental illness. Some of us work within systems that devalue us because of who we are, where we were born, how much socioeconomic capital we bring into the system. All of these things, God is saying, that's not right. That's not it. You weren't created for that kind of existence. The kingdom of God stands in sharp separation of that and says, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is what you were created for. You come alive when you live in this environment, in this way. And there are people and there are prophets and there are communities of people around the world that sometimes they get it and they demonstrate it and they live it out to their own growth and benefit and to the benefit and the thriving of all the people around them. That's what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be this place where we come and say, no, God created us for something different. God didn't create us for the brokenness and the pain and these cycles of injustice that we see over and over and over again. But I've worked in churches. And so when you work in churches, you have lots of church conversations. And you have that thing that I said at the beginning, when you tell people you're a pastor and they go, oh. See, somehow the church has begun to reflect another system that perpetrates injustices and pain. It's actually not the kingdom of God. It doesn't stand in opposition to all these things that are wrong and painful and broken. It's a part of it. I wasn't with you all on New Year's Day when we had service here. And my wife and I, we had an opportunity to go with some friends of hers from work, and we got to stay at this cabin in Snoqualmie. And the father of one of the people that was there, he came and he was part of it. And so I met him and he said, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, I'm a pastor. And no joke, within 45 seconds, he told me about the Christian Brothers school that he went to growing up and how many of his close friends were sexually abused by the pastors and priests there. And one, I was overwhelmed. I did not see the conversation going that way. But you know what's sad? I wish that conversation was shocking. I wish that when he started telling me about that, I had no framework in my brain for pastors who do those kinds of things. But immediately I thought, no, I know what you're talking about. I've seen Spotlight. I've heard the stories. I've met the people. So why did we start Cascade? Because something's broken with churches today. And I'm not saying that if you go around, there are these churches, and these are the broken ones, and these are the good ones, and I'll tell you about them later. I'm not even saying that, well, like, these are the pastors that are abusers and are awful people, and these are the good ones. Because here's the reality. Nobody gets into pastoral ministry to hurt people. No one starts a church to actively oppress and harm people. But sometimes over years, these systems take hold and they start moving with a momentum of their own. And it doesn't matter who comes in and works there. It just keeps on chugging right along because of a deep, deep history. Why did we start this? Because we wanted to try and break out of some of these systems and cycles. And maybe we were wrong, but we thought starting something new seemed to be the way to do that. And here's the other thing. I will never for one second underestimate our ability to do the same things. We could be just as broken. We could hurt and harm you. So the only thing I can offer, and we're going to talk about this as a core value of the church, is we say, I don't know everything, and we need each other. We need one another to speak up when something was hurtful or painful. We need someone to say, hey, we do this thing as a church, and it seems to be hurting and harming and marginalizing someone else. It's the only way we can change it. And so to do that and to give one another the language for that, I want to share this statement, our vision for what we hope the church is. Safe to be, safe to grow. Safe to be, safe to grow. That whole safety thing, like, why is that so important? And that's why I shared all those stories. Because sadly, this kingdom of God, this big C church thing that's supposed to exist, has in many places not been safe. In too many places, it's been the place where we come around and we say, these are the beliefs that we believe, and if you don't believe that, you're wrong. If you don't believe that, you're out of here. Or if you come here, you better clean up all the behavior that you're not supposed to have. And when that behavior gets cleaned up, well, then you'll be welcomed. Shoot, if you stay good enough long enough, you might even be celebrated. Might put you on a video. But you have to clean and address that stuff first. And we want to create a place that's just safe for you to be, like today. Because here's the reason. This is why it's linked, the safe to be, safe to grow. Because we don't believe that there's anyone who's arrived. Like, that's just not happened. No one here has arrived. And so when we're a community that's based around safety, and it's safe for you to be, and this is important, to be honest with yourself. For us to be honest with one another about who we really are, what is really going on in our lives, now we can grow and address it. When we create a community where it's safe to you for you to have already been, then it leads to hiding, it leads to shame, and it leads to all kinds of things, eating people up from the inside until ultimately one day the facade crumbles and all kinds of painful stuff comes out. There's a verse that I'd love for us to look at this morning that explains some of this, especially the first part. So if you have a Bible with you, if you can access one on whatever device you might have, we're looking at Psalm 46 today. And one other note, because Sunday after Sunday, I'm like, hey, if you brought your Bible with you, you have it on a device, pull it out. And this is fine, but a lot of people are like, can you just put it up on the screen now? I still think it's really, really great to bring a Bible with you if you have one, or to have a Bible app, because God says things to us sometimes. And when we write it down, when we put it in, it serves as this way of remembering how God spoke to us. I think it's crucial for our journey to be able to have things that we look back and like, no, I may not hear that thing the same way today, but I heard God and this is what God said. It can be good to write it down and have a place where it's stored, either in the app or on your Bible. Psalm 46, 9 through 11, it's talking about God. And it's talking about how powerful God is, all the things God does. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Before that, it talks about weather events and all kinds of things that God is in these. The most powerful things that we experience, we see God's power demonstrated in them. And it says the nature of this God is to make all war cease in the world. Because of where we live, we might be a little more removed from the realities of wars that are still happening in the world, but certainly in the time in which these scriptures were written, the world was running on war. War with one nation to another. And when you built up a strong enough army, when you built up a strong enough tribe, when you built up a strong enough team and you could defeat others, then you had favor. Then things were going well for you. And so the best that anyone can imagine in this is like, maybe one day I'll be on the winning team. It was like the darkest, most violent version of our own NFL watching, right? Maybe someday I won't be the oppressed because we'll be big enough, we'll be powerful enough. And what the prophets are saying here, they're saying, no, there's another way. This God makes wars cease. This God brings an end to war. It's not about, am I powerful enough to take someone off? Do I bring God as my lucky rabbit's foot to help me defeat someone else? It's no, there's a world where this doesn't have to happen anymore. This is the kingdom of God. It's the thing we keep talking about. We keep lifting up high. There's another way to live. Throughout the Old Testament, they use this word shalom, the peaceful thriving of all people. There is peace in the land that allows all people to grow and thrive. Not the kind of false peace that lets some people live well while others support it and make it happen. True peace for all people. And so this God that is this powerful, this God that is this powerful has an invitation. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating way to think of this kind of power and this kind of majesty because the world is also kind of built on hustle. If there's someone who has lots and lots of power, if there's someone who has lots and lots of influence, if there's someone who can do something for you, you gotta hustle. You gotta move to get an audience with this person. It's not just going to happen. It's not just gonna happen. We have kind of chance run-ins, but if you really want to be around someone who matters, you got to move, you have to hustle, you got to know the right people, you have to say the right things, you have to wear the right things, you got to be in the right places at the right times. And the most powerful thing of all, God. So no. You know what I mean? Just be still. There is nothing you have to do to know God. Other than be still. The opposite of thriving, not thriving, of striving, the opposite of action, the opposite of movement and trying, and am I doing the right things, and am I really in the right place? No, stop. Be still. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for me, being still is real hard. Now, not because I'm like, oh, I'm too busy. No. I can real sit. Like, I can be real still for a long time and do nothing. But there's a different kind of stillness where your mind is still actively engaged. I major in the stillness where it's just, boop, it's all shut down. There's nothing going on. And I think that stillness where it's all shut down and there's nothing going on is a kind of defense mechanism. Because I'm terrified of the stillness where I have to be with myself. You know this kind of stillness? Where there's nothing on, there's no one talking, it's just you. Have you ever played that game where you can invite 5 people to dinner? I don't know that I'd ever invite myself. Because I'd be terrified of what could come out. I think I'd be terrified of what I'd find out about myself. I think most of our lives, we work so hard to put out to other people who we want them to see us as. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I'm about. But when you're just still with yourself, you might find someone who's afraid a lot. You might find someone who's ashamed of a lot of things. You might find someone who gets angry. You might find someone who's judgmental. You might find someone who's terribly unhappy. And I love that this is where God starts. This is what God's call is. It's beautiful. God says, "Would you just be still? I've already accepted you." I've already accepted you. All that stuff you keep doing, all those ways that you keep on interjecting into conversations, yeah, full day, working hard. God is sitting there like, no, it wasn't. It was like Candy Crush for 8 hours. I watched it. God was there for all of it. He knows the lies. He knows the posturings. He's not impressed. And so God's invitation to us is, I've already accepted the real you. Now can you? Can you accept who you are? The first call to who we think we need to see this kingdom of God grow, to be this kind of church that really is safe for people, that talks about a different way of life and a different way of being, is you have to learn to be. To be. One of the ways we see that value in the church, and we're not perfect at it at all, but it's a value that we're working towards. For all of our volunteers, we try not to have anyone do something every week here. Why? Because you need to have some Sundays where you just be. What's your job this Sunday? Being. Sitting. Just being a part of church. That's not something that it's like, well, I guess you should do that if you don't have anything else to do. It's like, no, that's a value. Because if we're not comfortable with who we are in the silence, no amount of work and action and activity is going to address that. Are you with me? And this is what I love about it. I hope you're experiencing freedom in this. Here's what I love about it. It's not God rubbing your nose in it like a dog who deuced in the living room. God's not saying you're awful, you're naughty, you need to face it, you need to own it, you need to look up to it. God is saying, would you accept who you are? Because I've already accepted you. God's saying, would you sit with yourself? Because I've already sat with you. I'm already with you. The second part, which is equally important, as we were talking about, we want it to be this place where it's safe to be, but it doesn't end there. Because another part of this kingdom of God, this other thing that God is trying to bring about that's different than the way that life just happens on its own, is growth. It's maturity. It's thriving. It's learning new things about yourself and who God is, and it's living into those realities. We start with, you are okay. You are accepted here. And like, you're accepted here, and some of you have done some awful things. I get it. I'm smiling not because it's funny, but because you think you're not surrounded by other people who've done some messed up things. You think you're surrounded by other people who aren't struggling with pain and depression, loneliness, anger, fear. You think you're surrounded by everyone else that, like, their life is their Instagram or Facebook post? Because we're all in this together. And once we acknowledge that, once we look around and say, oh yeah, no, we all have this messed up thing, guess what we get to do now? Now we get to grow. Now we get to experience new life and freedom that are overcoming those. Now we get to put away the us that we wanted everyone else to see, and we get to live into the us that God created us to be. And that's why the church part of it is so important. That's why the God and the Jesus Christ thing is so important of it. It is so important and a part of it, because we don't believe that you find who God created you to be without God. We don't believe that we discover without Jesus, who brings this new life, who brings us to be who you are and who you are best to be. And when we try and figure it out on our own, we usually get it wrong. And we end up having all kinds of things that are painful and hurtful. Safe to be, crucial first step. Safe to grow, absolutely. Now, I only say this if you've been a part of other churches, and if you haven't, praise God, you're the lucky one. But I grew up in churches, and when pastors and churches talked about growth, here's what I knew they meant. You need need to grow and probably learning from the arrived over here. These are the people, the elders, the leaders, these are the people that have made it, and you need to grow, and it's probably going to be in relationship to their own growth. We use this imagery a lot in the churches that I grew up in. We talked about this journey, this path, which I love to this day. I love that path journey. And we would say, some people are just a little farther along the journey. They're just a little farther ahead, the journey. And look, I'm not going to pretend I'm super, you know, I'm old and mature and I have all these insights. But the older I get, the more and more I'm like, I think someone lied to me. Because the people that I'm challenged by the most are the people that are farther along in the journey and they talk about growth. They talk about new insights. They talk about the thing that God is teaching them today, not 20 years ago. When we talk about growth here, we're not just talking about for some of us. We're talking about for all of us. Because this journey is a thing that we're all on every day. And it's not like some of us are getting like super, super advanced level holy and the rest of us are like, you know, elementary holy. Because that system and scale within God's kingdom doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. You don't graduate. There aren't advanced classes. Oh, gosh. Mini rant. If you go to churches and people are like, I don't know, it just doesn't feed my soul anymore. Like, I need the real stuff. The real stuff? It just keeps on going back to the simplest truths. And if someone tries to tell you or sell you something advanced, they're probably lying. Because it doesn't get any more advanced than God loves you and God knows you and you don't have to run and hide anymore. For all of us all the time. All of us all the time. The moments where I felt like I'm really growing is when I reminded myself of the stuff that I picked up earliest on. Jesus loves me, this I know. And I keep on coming back to that, and I keep on coming back to that. So when we talk about growth, we don't talk about for some of you need to grow and probably learning from the rest of us. No, we all need to learn from everyone's journey. Because we're all on a journey. We're all called to grow. None of us are done yet. None of us are done yet. So here's some questions that I want to end with today. Because I hope you're catching the vision. Are you catching the thing? I hope you're catching something that sounds and feels a little bit different. Because if it's not, we really messed up. And you really should talk to me afterwards because I'd like to fix that. I think there's something different about a place that assumes brokenness and invites us to just stop pretending, and a place that assumes the need for growth, and we're all called to grow, and we actively fight and resist around the temptation to value some growth more than others. So the first step for us, the question is, what part of myself am I least comfortable with? What part of myself am I least comfortable with? If we're going to start at safe to be, if we're going to start with Psalm 46 and be still and know that I am God, what's the part of yourself that most fights against the stillness? What's the part of yourself you struggle most to sit with? Identifying that thing is the most powerful thing that exists. And I would invite you, as you identify that thing that you're uncomfortable with, the things that we're uncomfortable with in our own lives usually aren't like a spot on the map we have to point at. It's usually the start of a thread that keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. I'm really uncomfortable with myself when I lose my temper with my boys. I do. If you're here on Sunday, I know it's all run and daddy and hugs, but it's not always like that. They're not always that excited to see me. And sometimes I lose my temper. I just have this thing where like, I why won't you do anything I want you to do? And that thing that I'm most uncomfortable with is only as interesting as the next question is, why does that make me so angry? Why does that bother me so much? What's in there? When I can acknowledge the thing, then I can start asking some questions about it, and then I can sit with it, and I think that's the only path to growth. What is the part of yourself that you're least comfortable with? The lie is that we believe that if we ignore it, if we spend more time avoiding it and not talking about it and not looking at it and just focusing on the good stuff, then that's the path to overcome it. Oh, no. No, you give it all the power when we don't acknowledge it. You give it all the power when you keep running from it. It is good. God invites us to sit. What's the part that you're least comfortable with? And that question will always be a good question because it's based on our level of comfort with ourselves. The goal is to become more and more comfortable with the stuff within us that's broken, because that leads to the second part. Where is God calling me to grow? See, our church would be incomplete if, here's what we got. It'd be like a great church pitch meeting. So here's what I'm thinking for Cascade, okay? We got a church, but here's what we're going to do. We're not going to talk about like holiness and growing and growth and development. It's just, we're all broken and we're super aware of it. What do you think? Like, that's the starting line. We are aware that we're all broken. We become comfortable with the parts of ourselves that we've been least comfortable with. But then we walk a path and a journey of growth, of healing. It's the story of Christianity. It's the story of Jesus Christ. The things that were dead come back to life. The issue of my anger at my boys, why do I feel that way? That's not this dead thing that needs to be cut off. That's a very alive thing that needs to get redeemed and restored. There's something there. There's something there. And so we want to get curious about our own lives, curious about our own journeys, to see God bring that. Where is God calling you to grow? Where is God calling you to grow? Here's my final invitation, then we'll pray. Who knows your story? Who knows your struggles? Who gets invited into that place? One, I don't think sitting and saying it's okay to sit and be with God is a solitary journey. I think we sit with others. And growth for sure is not a solitary journey. We don't just go and grab the, you know, Spiritual Maturity for Dummies book, read it in our room alone, and then find new life and growth. No, we walk that journey with others, and we let others speak into it, those who know where we're coming from and know and have insights into where God is calling us. Don't let today be a missed opportunity to talk and share with someone, to open up with someone, to answer the question, what part of myself am I least comfortable with, to someone. Let's pray. God, my prayer is that when I introduce myself as a pastor, when people in this room answer the question of what would you do this weekend and you mention church, that God, it not bring about shudders and awkward glances, that it would bring about hope, that it would bring about encouragement, that people would say, oh, that place, that church is doing amazing things in our community, in our world. The people that I know from there are different in all the best ways. God, I pray that there would be a witness to who you've created us to be, that God, we could live into. And so God, help us know, help us sit with the parts of ourselves we're least comfortable with. God, I pray that we would invite others into that story. And God, we would experience the safety to be would be the same safety that would propel us to grow, to chase after you, God, to see the dead parts of our hearts and our lives come back alive. God, stir and move in us. Bring about your grace and your love in and through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.